out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 126. This is the 126th edition here at the Caffeination. We are exceedingly proud of how long we've been on the air. Hopefully, you're enjoying everything that you're hearing right about now. We're trying to mess around with the way everything's done so that you will get a much better quality show. We're actually starting to try and do some research a little bit ahead of time, which is completely unlike me in every other aspect of the of my life. Everything's done usually right around the last minute. So a lot of the stories are news, but we've seen some over the past couple days. Unfortunately, this has led to an incredibly long list of stuff that I need to talk about today. So what are we going to cut out? All right, we're going to cut out something called the musical accompaniment. There will be no musical accompaniment tonight other than the music that you hear in the background right about now. And the other thing we're going to cut out is superlatives. We're going to try and cut out the very long descriptive words that I tend to bandy about with no apparent reason. So we're going to just get right down to it. We have a little bit of general information. As always, we have some tech tidbits. We've changed what Caffeinated Links actually is towards the end of the podcast. It's going to be Caffeinated Links and Food Tech. Why? Because there were a whole lot of food tech related things that kind of spanned the gap between the two categories a little bit. So we're just going to lump everything in there, and it feels good to have a little bit more meat at the towards the end of the show, so I'm not just rushing you out of here. Big impetus for this show was actually, I am a highly caffeinated individual, in case you didn't know and couldn't tell by the sound of my voice. So, I enjoy being caffeinated, so one of the things that I wanted to share with everyone else was, exactly my love of coffee, love of caffeine, and love of, generally being wired and thinking sleep was pretty much a waste of time. And then I had a kid and found out that sleep was very precious in small quality quantities, but still. Like I said, we have a long show. Why am I babbling? Well, first up, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about something. It's our sponsor for the show. This is GoToMeeting. So if you're looking for a better way to present or work together during your conference call, your solution is quite simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone will log on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen will show up on their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is a perfect tool for sales meetings, products, demos, trainings, or real-time collaborations. Plus, you're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want, as long as you need, for one flat rate. But with GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, without ever having to leave your office. You're not only going to end up saving time, but a lot of money, too. So you can see for yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, so we'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here at the Caffeination. We're continuing to grow, and hopefully you enjoy this show. So if you're wondering where this show lives, somebody gave you the MP3 or whatever, you can find it at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of stuff out there today, so we might want to get right down to it. But we're stalling a little bit, I guess. There's a lot of stuff that I want to try and get out there. So the first thing I wanted to talk to you about, a little bit more of an update on my father's condition. For those of you not in the know, last Wednesday, somewhere around the end of April, I'm losing track of days at this point in time, my father went into the hospital for an undiagnosed problem, just all kinds of GI issues. So that would be gastrointestinal as opposed to actual, government issue like G.I. Joe or anything like that. So he's having, some problems in his abdomen and things like that. So, this stuff kind of needs to be worked out. So, long story short, a little bit too late. Monday he had an operation. We were all incredibly frightened. Large outlay of support from the podcasting community. Thank you again to everybody. He is well on his road to recovery. The tube is not yet out of his nose and everything. But, little steps, small baby steps. I'm actually really proud of how he's taking it. He's doing really well. It's a long, hard road, and this surgery was incredibly invasive. He asked the doctor how many stitches he put in. The doctor says, "I don't know. I use a gun. I don't count them until after the fact." They counted him up. It was 29 stitches straight down from right under his sternum to right above his right under his waistline. So, a lot of stitching going on. So. But he's on his way to recovery, so everything should be good. Another thing is, somebody actually mentioned to me a little bit last week, he's like, "Oh, it's amazing how much you can do with the little amount of contents you put in some of the shows." Oh, yeah? Well, we have a ton, a metric ton ton of content for you today. And then there were two little things I wanted to throw out there, just kind of like throwaway things. It's 101 ways to annoy your coworkers. It's just a little list that's over at Dig. You don't actually have to click on the link that's there. If you scroll down into the comments, somebody actually cut and pasted the whole thing. Some of them are incredibly ridiculous, like forget to put your tuna sandwich in the fridge. That's not annoying, that's disgusting. You can sing show tunes, that's annoying. You can slurp hot coffee during meetings, that's a necessity. I mean, so, like, I'm a big fan of pranks in the office workplace, but, you know, we just like to see if anybody out there had some ideas about different office pranks and whatnot. We've piled boxes up in front of people, behind people's doors when they were on vacation. We've switched around everything. We've changed desktops to screensavers, installed the blue screen of death screensaver, a whole bunch of different fun little things in the office. But we'd like to hear about any of the stories that anybody out there has, so you can send those to caffeination@gmail.com. And then I have one of my own little things in there, the 102nd ways to start a podcast and email your coworkers asking them to listen. Some of them actually do. That's the fun part. All right, now the next thing we had up here is 10 reasons it doesn't actually pay to be the computer guy. Again, same thing as before. The site died when Dig linked to it, so somebody actually found a way to cut and paste all the text that was on the site into the comments, so you really don't have to read very much other than scroll down to the large block of text. Now, these hit pretty home. That was unintelligible there. Sorry about that. Now, these hit home to a lot of the people who listen to this show. We're just going to run down the list, and we're going to talk about them again on another show. We're asking people's reaction to these, basically. Reason number 10, most of your accomplishments are invisible. So it says, basically, the computer guy doesn't ever really hear when things are going correctly. They only hear when things go wrong. So I've told this to some of the faculty I work with. When they come in, they say, hi. I said, okay, so what's wrong? They say, well, what do you mean something's wrong? I said, well, nobody ever just comes in to say, hi, how you doing? No, they only come in when something's wrong, they broke something, or somebody else broke something and they'd like it fixed. So, I mean, that's pretty much the only time you see 90% of the people. Reason number 9 is every conversation you have is roughly the same. It just talks a lot about the repetition that you see in the workplace. A lot of people end up giving the same information over and over and over again. I mean, I deal with students, faculty, administrators, I deal with the whole gamut of people. And I gotta tell you, I repeat the same conversation, the same explanation for very simple problems over and over again all the time. So just to put it out there, in case anybody's actually going to be printing documentation, color photos or something like that, design work, and you were wondering why the document you printed out doesn't look correctly, let me just say right off the top of the bat, if you don't know what this means, don't worry about it. But if you create a document in Photoshop and you're trying to print it out on your standard inkjet printer, if the document is not CMYK, then the reason you're having the problem is that you have colors that are out of the gamut of printable colors through ink. So if I say this here, I might actually catch a couple of the people who are out there. So if you're designing for print in Photoshop or anything else like that, there's a little button that says CMYK as opposed to RGB. So there we go, and hopefully I've cut out a couple times I have to actually say that again. But I repeat that or something similar to that probably about 5 to 10 times, sometimes a day, when students say, oh, what's wrong with this document? It didn't print out the color you wanted. This is blue on the screen. Yeah, it's blue on the screen, but if you really look at it, it's never going to print out blue because you messed up a couple settings in there. So, a little bit of a rant, but hey. Reason number 8, you're an expert on the bleeding edge of technology products, aren't you? Just because you are the computer guy, they assume that if they just found a one-of-a-kind, brand-new, spiffy little gadget, that you are going to be an expert in this gadget. So this happens more in the family than I guess at home. Somebody gets a spiffy new cell phone, somebody gets a wonderful new laptop and say, oh, this laptop comes with fingerprint authentication, yada, yada, yada. Okay, that's great. Never used it. I mean, I have now after the fact, but somebody said, oh, so how do you end up using this? I haven't the foggiest. Have you tried reading the manual? Well, no, you're the computer guy. No. Just read, please, for the love of God. All right, reason number 7, your talents are forcibly undervalued. Basically, it says, people don't want to pay for what kind of service you give them. This deals a little bit more with the consulting areas of things. They think if they buy a computer for $400, that it shouldn't cost more than the computer to fix it. And in some cases, this is correct. But in other cases, you have to pay for the amount of knowledge that the person has and brings to the table, and hopefully they'll be able to fix your problem. Because their time is worth something, your data is worth something, so it's not that So we're just going to move right along. You're never allowed a moment's peace. And so it basically says computers never sleep, computer problems aren't scheduled. This goes for a lot of different professions, so I really don't tend to this. But I do think that you're never allowed a moment's peace because, family parties, conversations with friends, you're going out to dinner, a bar. I mean, you see people all over the place. Everybody has technology. It's ingrained within your life. So, of course, being the quote-unquote computer guy or girl, everybody's going to flock to you for advice. Wonderful. All right. Number five, people ask you to perform miracles. Yes, I managed to put my entire computer into a toaster oven. How did you do that? I don't know. It was a very small computer, very large toaster oven. Can you fix it? No. One of my student workers accidentally... not accidentally. She spilled chocolate onto her laptop. Okay, that's fine. You can get it off. You just need to, you can use a hairdryer if you were going to, take care of some of the little things in there, melt it out to get it out of the keyboard a little bit. No, she held it over an open flame, then wondered why the plastic started to melt. So, okay, that's a problem. That would be a miracle to fix that keyboard after that. All right, reason number four, you assumed all-knowing status and sets people... Yeah. Your assumed all-knowing status sets you up to let people down. Basically, everybody assumes you know everything. I don't know everything. I'm pretty upfront with what I do not know. However, I have this wonderful application called Google and this wonderful amorphous body called the internet, which allows me to find damn near anything. So if people would just understand the workings of a search engine, it would cut my work in half. Number three, you possess unlimited responsibility. So they talk about some of the strange things that they've been asked to do. Use pirated software to undelete important company files. Create an internet even intranet when they did not know how to. And teaching someone how to hide their pornography collection. Well, yeah, I've seen unlimited responsibility, but more along the lines of anything with electricity in the department and anything even vaguely relating to something that might have touched a computer at one point in time seems to be my general responsibility, both in work and sometimes even in the family. But I just think it's kind of funny at this point. You just kind of have to throw your hands up and say, hey, whatever happens, happens, you know? And number two, a life of alienation. You are on an island. Whether or not you realize this and you're in tech support, even if you work with a group of other people, you are an island. You are constantly beset by users. They outnumber you like 40 to 1. And that's if you're in a good office. So I think right now the ratio is somewhere, at least where I work, in the department where I work, it's somewhere around 350 to 400 to me of people I'm directly responsible for fixing whatever they happen to break or whatever happens to accidentally go wrong and they really have no clue. And then the last reason, number one, is you have no identity. Now, why is this important? Well, basically it says... the computer guy shows up. That's what you're constantly referred to. Some people find this a problem. I actually kind of relish it. It's kind of I consider it an affirmation of, your skills. It's people saying, yes, this is the computer guy. They're recognizing that you have these skills. So if you put a little bit of a positive spin on it, sometimes it helps you out a little bit. Hey, and that's just the general information. Oh, yeah, reason number 11. If you start a podcast, you have to explain to people in your family what one is when you get all the blank stares. So you are listening to a podcast right now. Hope you know what one is. Otherwise, my general description somewhere around, it's an internet radio show, which you download whenever you want. You can set it up in iTunes, a whole bunch of other different programs to pull it down automatically after it's been created. It's kind of fun and you can listen to it whenever you want. It's kind of like a TiVo for radio for smaller programs. And people seem to sort of get the gist after a little while. If anybody out there has other reasons why it doesn't pay to be the computer guy or girl, please send them to caffeination@gmail.com. We love the little back and forth we have with our users, so hopefully we'll continue that. Hopefully all the listeners out there are enjoying the shows and how we've been doing it. So like I said, we love feedback. We love people telling us exactly what's working, what's not, what irritates you, what doesn't. Hey, we're just going to move right along to the tech tidbits. And hey, we haven't even gotten to the tech tidbits. Now, if you don't know, if this is your first time listening to the show or whatnot, tech tidbits are the general area we put all the offbeat technology news, all the strange stuff that I find on the internet that really you can't classify as definitely hardcore technical stuff, when we do glaze over that sometimes, but that's usually in something we call a tech talk. Tech Tidbits is generally like, you know, news stories and then my take on them. I explain things to you, new products that are out there. I love gadgets. I am a gadget freak. I have nowhere near the amount of money that I need to possess all of the tiny little shiny things with buttons that I would love to have. So we're going to talk a little bit about one very serious issue right off the bat. And the only thing I would like to mention this for is because it kind of demonizes technology just a little bit. The Virginia Tech gunman apparently bought some of the ammo clips he used on eBay. A very big story over the internet a couple times. And here's the problems that I have with the story. First of all, they automatically mention that, hey, yes, he had eBay. He had an eBay account. This is all the stuff. And they start scouring through all the different purchases that he made. Some of it was violent. Some of it wasn't. You know, I mean, they're so looking for a connection to video games with this. It's really scary, but they're so looking for a collection of connection to video games, which he was not an avid video game player. In fact, he had no system or anything. That they actually stooped to examining the contents of his graphing calculator to see the video games that had. Now, just to give you an idea, if you don't know how complex some of these graphing calculators are. When I was in high school, I actually did program a blackjack and roulette. I think it was blackjack and poker, actually, into the graphing calculator. That's right. I mean, you can do some really nifty stuff, but it takes a long time and it's horrible graphics. So even if he had the most violent video game you can possibly imagine on his graphing calculator, it would look somewhere like it was written in 1982. So there's not a lot of depth with these things. The reason I have a problem with this story and I have a problem with the law enforcement officials bringing this out is they did two things. The first thing they did was they announced the guy's email address and they announced his eBay handle name. And then they announced the handle name of the legitimate reseller he bought the empty ammo clips from. So this guy makes his living off eBay. I'm not going to give you the information. I linked to the story. That's about it. The part that irritates me is that they give you the guy's handle. And they say, oh, well, he couldn't be reached for comment. Of course he couldn't. Most people who have eBay accounts who sell things like this, they just want a little supplemental income. They want to be helped out in their personal life. They have a passion like this guy's passion was apparently, he liked firearms. He liked shooting. Maybe he liked target shooting, whatever. So, I mean, hey. So he wanted to provide supplies to people. I know somebody who operates a business for hockey equipment. Doesn't mean he goes out and beats up seniors on the weekend because he's a violent person or anything like that. But they immediately put the guy's username up there, and you basically have killed this man's internet business. He's always and forever going to be directly linked to this shooting. So he has to completely erase that account almost. He's probably has to finish out whatever purchases have been made. And then he's going to have to fend off the cyber sleuths that are running around trying to find out the guy's real name. And then, even then, he's probably going to have to deal with lawsuits from the families who died, from the families of the students who died, because, again, you know, he provided the empty ammo clips. I hope to God it doesn't actually get that far, but it's just people know too much about certain things right now. There is no reason to have that. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I thought it was inappropriate that they released that kind of information, not even talking about some of the other levels of inappropriate things that have happened in relation to this horrific event, but still. And now the rest of the show, I guarantee, is completely lighthearted, offbeat, and strange. I just wanted to throw that out there because, you know, every once in a while you get a little bit of a social conscience bug, even when you're not necessarily the most politically minded person or anything like that. But so that's just one of the things that kind of gets under my skin a little bit. Hope everybody out there has enough time to listen to today's show because we're still running long and I do not know how long this show is going to be. So there's some things we're just going to blow through soon here, but we have Levity and the Loo. Yes, the water closet, bathroom, porta potty, whatever you want to call it. Somebody has managed. I mean, how's this for a segue, you know? Go directly from one horrific story to one horribly crazy story. Like I said, everything else is going to be nice and lighthearted from here on out. But what do you get when you have a crazy gentleman by the name of Paul Sender? First of all, love the guy's name. Hey, Pauls of the world unite, you know what I mean? But all right. Paul Sender has managed to build the world's first jet-powered porta-potty. So, yes, there is a water closet, a WC, a loo that is capable of reaching 70 miles an hour. The jet engines that are in the porta-potty... have a 20-foot fireball behind them. You need to see this. I mean, the guy's very serious looking, has the whole racing helmet and jacket and everything else like that. It's powered by a 1,000 BHP Boeing turbine engine, shoots out 30-foot long fireballs. He spent 5,000 pounds, so I think that's somewhere around $7,000 to $10,000 US. I don't even know any of the other conversion rates, but that's a lot of money to send a bathroom. I mean, I guess when you gotta go, you gotta go. They have a video on up over there. It's a sight to behold. I mean, I thought it was crazy when I saw the Volkswagen Beetle, the new model Volkswagen Beetle, you know, completely tricked out and hitting like 200 miles an hour. Yeah, I like to exaggerate a little, but still. Yeah, and he had the 30-foot fireballs going out the back end of this, but you know, hey, you can't beat a porta potty on wheels, you know? All right, now the next little thing, this was actually, I meant to blog about this, but I haven't gotten a chance. Like I said, or I don't know if I've actually said it in this episode, but it's been kind of crazy around here. It's always crazy around here. I'm going to stop making excuses and just start providing you content. So we'd like to heartily suggest that people head on over to caffeination.com. First of all, you can see all the links. You can click all of them. You can register for our mailing list if you head on up to subscribe here. You can subscribe to the show if you aren't already. And the other thing is, all you need to do to subscribe to our mailing list to get everything here is click the register button at the top of the page over at caffeination.com. We will gladly add you to the mailing list. We're actually working on a new style of mailing list, so it's not just going to be coming out of my Gmail account anymore. But basically, all you need to do is get off the email list to say, hey, get me off the email list. No harm, no foul. The only thing I might do is ask you why. That's about it. And you're poof, you're off. All right, well, this was a little bit scary to watch, but there was a recently released string of characters, hexadecimal characters, that were released, which is basically like a master code for HD DVD decoding. Now, for some reason, all of the players used this same master code, and it was buried very deep within the programming. And if you use this code in conjunction with a serious amount of technological know-how and hacking ability, then you can manage to decode and rip movies off of HD DVD, and I believe even some of the Blu-ray ones at the same point in time. So what they are, this is the only place you're going to find them on my website because of things that have happened, is 09F911029D74E35BD814 56C56635688C0. It's everybody's favorite number over at Dig. Why is that? Well, because Dig decided to, they got a cease and desist order because there were stories that were popping up with this series, with this string of characters. So what Dig did was they removed the stories because they got the cease and desist letter. Well, people decided to take umbrage to the fact that Dig was basically censoring every single story where it had. So what people were doing was completely unrelated stories. They were putting this string into their comments. Then the comments were getting deleted. Then they were putting them back into the stories, and the stories were getting deleted. It got so bad at the end of the day, every one of the top 10 stories on Dig had this number in the title, was this number, was a link to a place with pictures of the title. It got so crazy, I think there were somewhere around 300 stories submitted and made to the front page on Dig, all with this number in it. Why? Because the people were so unhappy with the powers that be over at Dig and how they basically, you know, cut off news stories just because they got the cease and desist letter. Now, you might be on one side or the other with this, and you know, if given my druthers, I probably would remove at least the first story on there because of the cease and desist. I'd be like, you know what, we're going to take this down. They even posted a nice little blog over there explaining why they had to do it. Now, from a business standpoint, you can definitely see this. However, from a community-driven site, the Dig creators are not responsible for the contents. They're not responsible for the stories. So, I don't know. It's a very overreaching interpretation of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act in America. So, people took umbrage with the fact that, and then you had the mob rule mentality, where it eventually got so bad that Kevin Rose, the person who created Dig, or one of the two people who created Dig, said, today was, here, I'm just going to read his blog posting. Today was an insane day. As a founder of Dig, I wanted to post my thoughts. In building and shaping the site, I've always tried to stay as hands-on as possible. We've given the site moderation, digging and burying power to the community. Occasionally, we step in and remove stories that violate our terms of use, linking to pornography, illegal downloads, racial hate sites, etc., etc. So today was a difficult day for us. We had to decide whether to remove stories containing a single code based on a cease and desist declaration. We had to make a call, and in our desire to avoid a scenario where Dig would be interrupted or shut down, we decided to comply and remove the stories with the code. But now, after seeing hundreds of stories and reading thousands of comments, you've made it clear. You would rather see Dig go down fighting than bow down to a bigger company. We hear you, and effective immediately, we won't delete stories or comments containing the code, and we will deal with whatever consequences might be. If we lose, then what the hell? At least we died trying. So now you have to, on a user-generated content site like Dig, you really have to give them credit for actually bowing to the will of the users. And the funny thing about it is, surreptitiously after the fact, after everything died down, this all happened on May 1st. A lot of the stories were still very much up at the top of the leaderboard, so to speak, on May 2nd. The stories started disappearing again today. Slowly but surely, they're being pulled away, pulled out, and so I'm pretty sure that what they're trying to do is cull the herd a little bit. I mean, there were, like you said, hundreds of stories and thousands of comments. They're not taking the comments out from what I've seen, but they are pulling some of the stories that were just general comment spam. So take my hats off to you guys, and I really am glad I'm not in your position. But still, just wanted to let people know it was crazy. You can really head on over there and check out. We actually have a link to over to CNET. This was news at BBC. This was news at MSNBC. People rose up in revolt to this, and it was insane. Just sitting there, watch it popping up on my screen. It was nuts. Stories were getting submitted, and no less than 15 minutes later, they had something like 400 digs, which is an unbelievable rate of speed for this stuff that's coming up. So, hey, hats off to the guys. You got what you wanted. Now let's see what happens. All right, next up we have the King of Zelda Mods. Just wanted to throw this out there. Kind of cool. Little Nintendo DS is being auctioned off for... It's on sale for eBay right now, and there's a 15% of the proceeds actually go towards the Child's Play charity. It's a charity run by the guys over at Penny Arcade. It looks like a pretty much normal DS, except instead of the standard fare on the back, there's a white LED and a Zelda... how do you say this? It's the shield and the swords and the crest that's on all the Zelda games. It's actually embossed, and it's a... separate piece that's glowing with the white thing behind it. It's pretty cool. They don't have a link to the eBay site, so I can't really tell you where it is, but oh wait, there it is. Let's see what it's up to. A little hard find. Up to $610. That's insane. But hey, it's all for a good cause, and it's really well done. It's gold colored with black and silver, and has the crest on the back, and it's just very well done and very, very neat looking. So if you're inclined and you have that kind of money, then hey, head on over there and check it out. Next one is You Are Here. Thanks very much to our listener Chris. He found one of the stories that made it through on May 1st over at Dig. It's a graphical representation of online communities. So basically, somebody over at xkcd.com decided to take all of the online communities that he thought, you know, YouTube, MySpace, Classmates.com, Xanga, blogging sites, Flickr, Last.fm, DeviantArt, let's see where else, Dig, World of Warcraft, and basically take the size of the membership for each one of these and shrink them into general ideas of how big they would be as if they were represented on a map. So it's a really neat little thing over there. You can actually see some of it's very fun. It says here there be anthropomorphic dragons right next to World of Warcraft. Ocean of Subcultures. It's a viral straits at Dig, YouTube, and Reddit, and Fark. And then there's the P2P Shoals. You have Broadcaster, Flickr, Last.fm, DeviantArt, and... You have the Straits of Web 2.0 and the Gaze of Web 2.0. You have the Wikipedia Project, kind of like a little spider web looking thing. You have the Blogapelago, all the little blog sites and stuff that you have over there. And then the Compass Rose shaped island. Practicals, focus on web, intellectuals, all that stuff. MySpace, the Gulf of YouTube, the Noob Sea. Tiny little island of Second Life. So it's kind of fun to see this little thing, and I hope they make it in a slightly more attractive version. I see something more along the lines of the J.R.R. Tolkien maps of Middle Earth, something with a little bit more style to it, just ever so slightly. And I would definitely buy a map of this. This is just really cool. I already have a map printed out in work from the opti.org representation of the internet. So hey, this would be a definite addition to that. It'd be kind of fun. I used to have an internet yellow pages map. This is from back in like 1996, and I can't find it. It was a crazy glob of all these different sites that paid to be on this thing. It's really cool and kind of retro in a way with the graphic design and how it looked. It was very much a Wired magazine early days kind of item. It was very fuchsia, had a lot of electric colors. It was pretty cool. Next up here we have from one of our listeners, Fabrice. It says, I can see my house from here and pretty much everything else. It's an array of absolutely insane monitor setups, so if you want to head on over there, you can check that out. They have anywhere from grids with 25 monitors in array and how they have them set up to the standard flight desk kind of controller, the guy who has 17 monitors just so he can play Flight Simulator. They have all kind of racks and system monitoring utilities. It's just crazy. The people have 4 vertical desktops in Windows XP, which would, I think, takes 2 graphics cards to do. I have two Windows or monitors in work. I have 2 at home, and actually the 2 at home are now separated, so they're actually out running different computers at this point in time. But at one point in time, I did have the extra expanse of desktop real estate, and I gotta tell you, once you expand into that second monitor, it's like an addiction. You can't go back down to one and still be satisfied. I'm feeling very cramped at this point in time. I'm actually going to have to plug in the other monitor just to feel good about myself at this point. All right, next up here, just a little throw out there gadget. Verteronics has a Bluetooth speaker and hands-free device, basically for all your, I guess it's for speakerphones for cell phones and Bluetooth connectivity with wireless music players and everything like that. Just thought it was cool. Thought it was kind of an interesting design, so I decided to throw it out there. Now, this next article has real... if you've ever heard of the computer bug and the apocryphal story, and to some certain extent, the term bug was created because somebody actually found a moth in one of the relays in one of the early machines. While somebody did find a moth in one of the relays in one of the early machines, the term bug actually predates that. That was the first computer bug, so to speak. The term debugging came from that, supposedly. So now there's a new thing. Apparently, Internet 2, anywhere from New York up to Boston and a little bit further, was actually destroyed. I mean, completely taken out on Tuesday night for a little bit. Anyway, and why was this? Because some homeless man on the Red Line subway route in New York, I believe, threw a cigarette through a window, landed on a mattress, it ignited and led to a 2-alarm fire, which melted the backbone of Internet 2. Internet 2 is an incredibly high-speed network connection that connects institutes of higher learning for research purposes, for the most part. It's really neat, really cutting-edge kind of stuff. It's not out there yet for general consumption, shall we say. I've seen demonstrations of it, but I haven't been involved in any kind of level. But it's crazy. So I guess from here on out, if there's network trouble, instead of saying there's a bug in the system, I guess people can say it's been bummed. But completely horrible. I don't care. It was a funny joke to me at that point in time. Are you scared of people... Are you looking at your data after you throw out hard drives and stuff like that? Well, one of our listeners, James, has a solution for you. There's a free software that actually somehow utilizes the already present workings within most hard drives. So I guess there's some kind of feature in most hard drives that allow it to randomize the data it writes or something like that. I'm not really sure how it works. But it follows all the government regulations for erasing data, and it's free. So he sent a link on over there. So if you're interested in that, you can head on over there and check that out. And I highly recommend that people run this type of program before they throw out any hard drive. Either that or take it to one of those services where they will punch your hard drive for you. Basically, they physically destroy the drive. It is impossible to read after the fact. Next up here, we have a gadget called... Let me catch up to where I am. Okay. Wake up to a heart attack, or you can wake up to your fire drill. Yes, you can hearken back to your days in elementary school when they had that... irritating fire alarm, ding 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 ding. Apparently over at Gizmodo they have one of the loudest fire alarm ever, the loudest alarm clock ever, rather. Although they haven't heard the alarm clock I have upstairs in our room right now, it's only at a quarter of the volume and it still screams loud enough to get me up out of bed. When I was younger and it took even more to wake me up, it was up right around three quarters volume and it was so loud. I used to live in a row house, still live in a row house in Philadelphia. Townhome, row house, whatever you want to call them. I forgot to turn the alarm off one morning. Was walking down the street to the bus. I was probably half a block away. The alarm went off again and I could hear it. So I would hate to have been any of my neighbors at that point in time. I actually had to call home and tell my dad to turn it off. Wasn't my knowledge, but my dad actually had turned it off well in advance of that because, you know, it was irritating the hell out of him. But I just thought it was kind of fun to put this up there. So, you know, this is less irritating than the puzzle piece alarm clock that throws pieces all over the room. I told you that would get smashed. This might give you a heart attack, so we'll see how that... Now, I'm a forgetful person, but I don't really think the next thing would actually work for me. It's a door hanger that says, do not forget, bright red, and it's supposed to clip your keys on it, your iPod, wallet, whatever else you want, and slip it in there. My fault, my luck, I would leave the door unlocked or slightly open. Somebody would reach in, grab the iPod keys, wallet, and everything else like that, and then they'd be living there by the time I got home. So just wanted to throw that out there. It's kind of an interesting invention. See if anybody else had any kind of problems with forgetting things. I've forgotten all kinds of strange things. I actually walked out of my father's hospital room last night without the keys to get into the car. Made it halfway down to the hall, down the hallway before I reached into my pocket, went, oh, crept back, got them, and went on my merry way. But still, it was like, man, how can you forget that? I walked in with two things, my cell phone, which didn't leave my pocket, and my keys. So, all right. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff that's just throwaway stories and stuff I really wanted to let you know about just because I thought they were interesting. I don't know if anybody out there has ever seen those the soap dispensers in the bathrooms where you put your hand under there, it gives you a little squirt of soap without having to touch anything. How would you like that convenience at home? Well, they have a simple human sensor soap pump versus the old squeeze bottle here. I don't see a... Well, there it is. For $40, you can fill this up with the soap of your choice, put your hands under it, it gives you a little squirt. There you go. All right. Next little thing is... So I need one of these, and just for you need to stop that, calm down, and go back. All right, I need one of these next inventions because I think they're awesome, and it has a very, very useful set of things. The only problem is you need a conversion kit to move a pre-existing object from one state into this other state. And now I had an insert joke about fish in the internet. Couldn't really think of one. I'm pretty sure there's one out there. So if you have it, send it in, and I'll gladly put it up there. But there's a internet-aware fish tank. It's called Cornfish for some ungodly reason. It's actually incredibly ugly. It looks more like the pendant that was sitting on Austin Powers' chain around his neck. But what this is an internet-aware fish tank. You plug it into some kind of Ethernet connection, or it has a wireless thing. I'm not really sure. It allows you to keep tabs on your fishy friends from afar, according to the site here. You can watch. There's a built-in webcam. You can control the filters, bubble, water temperature. I'm pretty sure you can even dispense food, which is awesome. And I would love to have one of these in my office. But what they, like I said, what they need is a conversion kit to existing fish tanks to allow you to control the systems that are there via website, via cell phone, whatever it may be. Thought it was kind of cool, so I put it up there. If anybody out there knows of such a gadget, please let me know. I'd be very interested in getting my hands on one of them, provided that they're not like a couple $100, because frankly, I don't have it. All right, next little thing here we have is Black Hole Sun. NASA posted some insanely cool 3D images of the sun. Now, everybody's seen the color-filtered pictures of the sun, basically the giant blue orb pictures, the green, yellow, and red. They all show different details of solar storms and everything. This is the first time that NASA has released real 3D images of the sun. So if you have any of those old 3D glasses laying around, they are the red-blue shifted pictures that allow you to actually have this information pop out of the screen. Crazy. They also have a link on how to make your own 3D goggles. So, hey, that's pretty cool. They have, say, build your own 3D glasses. Actually, this is the first time I'm looking at this. I probably should have checked this out before. But what it says is you need oak tag or poster board, scissors, clear tape, and a basic pattern for the glasses. And then it says, of course, you need sheets of red or blue acetate, available at art stores. Now, I'm pretty sure you might be able to actually get by with a little bit of transparency film and some red and blue markers. That might actually work. You know, red and blue Sharpie. Or even red and blue paint. You can just paint right across it. As long as you can see through it, you might actually have some luck. But hey, if anybody actually follows the instructions, I thought it was pretty cool. Thought people out there might be interested in it. I would just love. I'm gonna have to see if I have any of the 3D glasses laying around. If not, I'm definitely gonna have to see if I can construct them. So, thought I was gonna throw that out there, allow you to see that. Next thing up here is we have fiber optic cloth. They have it tablecloth, pillows, shirts, duffel bags. It's all these light up, very trippy kind of clothing and cloth that's out there. Just thought it was kind of cool. Thought you'd throw it up there for a nice little link, see what people thought about that. Then the last thing that we have in Tech Tidbits, I know we're flying through stuff left and right. We just hit 40 minutes, and I'm not even to the caffeinated links and food tech stuff. So I hope everybody out there is enjoying this. the next little link we have here is not safe for children for certain aspects, but it's all beeped out, so I'm pretty sure they would know what's being said, but they wouldn't actually hear the offending words. It's basically a user-submitted video on Mario on Mushrooms. It takes place well after the stories of Mario, Princess Peach, Luigi, and everything like that, where Mario's living in the real world, shacked up with Princess Peach in some tiny little apartment, and apparently he has a mushroom problem. So it shows you him going off the deep end, confronting cops, using the invincibility, growing. It's just very well done, very nice, very funny. I enjoyed it, so I thought I'd pass it along to everybody else out there. And now we have finished up our run through the Tech Tidbits. Hope you enjoyed that. Now time for a little message from me. If you're listening to this podcast over the stream at the Tech Podcast Network, you can find it. It lives over at caffeination.com. That's www.caffeination.com. And let's see what else. Oh, yeah. If you'd like to send us comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you can find that you'd like to throw into an email and send our way, you can send that over to caffeination@gmail.com. Sorry if I'm seeming a little slow here. I'm trying to manage things that are around here. So hopefully everybody's going to start sending in more content. I love it when people give us good, funny little stories there. The first thing I actually saw here, it's actually called Beer Tech or Beer Power. I couldn't really find out what I was going to call it, but definitely interesting, definitely cool, so I just decided to throw that out there. It's a 660-gallon brewery fuel cell. So Australia's University of Queensland secured a $115,000 grant to build a fuel cell that is capable of producing 2 kilowatts of power that runs off of beer. It's basically essentially a battery in which the bacteria consumes water-soluble brewing waste. So I think it operates within the brewery. It doesn't actually work off the beer, but actually the waste that gets produced by creating beer. So it's not as cool as it originally sounds, but definitely, definitely a interesting little story out there. And if they can find something to power, you know, if they can find something other than arguments to power with beer, I think that'd be pretty cool. Although I have seen a couple sports fans themselves powered by beer. So, next little thing we have up here is a link to our good friends over at EnergyFiend.com. They list 7 good reasons to drink coffee. I have a couple problems with this. First of all, it's only 7? You couldn't find any more than 7? I have 365 reasons to drink coffee, which I will go through at length at some other point in time, but most of them can be summed up in days that end in a Y. And the other thing here is this should have been actually renamed as 7 Reasons Why I'm Really Invincible and No One Knows It. So the first one is cut the pain. 2 cups of coffee can actually cut post-workout muscle pain by up to 48%. Number 2, increase your fiber intake. A cup of brewed coffee presents a contribution of 1.8 grams of fiber per recommended intake of 20 to 38 grams. Number 3, protection against cirrhosis of the liver. Their little comment here is you could, of course, cut down on your drinking with alcohol, but hey, who really wants to do that? Next thing is number 4. Lower the risk of type 2 diabetes. Sorry about that. Lower the risk of type 2 diabetes. This says those who consumed 6 or more cups of coffee a day, these are my people, you had a 22% lower risk of diabetes. Right on, people. All right, number 5, lowered risk of Alzheimer's disease. We don't have time to forget things. So number 6, reduce the risk of suicide. Of course, why would you kill yourself when you are so awake all the time? 10-year study, it said 86,000 female nurses showed a reduced risk in suicide when they were coffee drinkers as opposed to non-coffee drinkers. And then the 7th thing is a protection against Parkinson's. No clue why coffee has all of these benefits and why not more people are on this intravenously, but people with Parkinson's disease are less likely to be smokers and or coffee drinkers than their healthy siblings. Just make sure you don't get lung cancer along the way. Hey, I'm not going to be smoking at any point in time. I quit that a while ago. In my teenage years, I smoked rather religiously for probably about 2 years and quickly realized it probably wasn't the most intelligent decision for my health and stopped. So these are the 7 reason ones why I am invincible, and some of you may be too. So hopefully you found that enjoyable. Next little thing we had here is Waffle Tech. What's Waffle Tech? Keyboarding for breakfast. They have a keyboard or a waffle iron that's shaped like a keyboard. And I'm a big fan of breakfast foods. I like waffles. I like pancakes. So I think they should start making CD stamping devices that look like pancakes. Then you have your waffle keyboard. I'm pretty sure you could have a sausage mouse, and you can have yourself a little CPU breakfast. I thought it was fun. No really techie stuff for the syrup, although this is the one keyboard that you can eat off of and eat it. So next little thing up here. This doesn't really fall in technology, more along the lines of ads versus reality. And it's up there just because I found it online and thought it was fun to kind of put out there for people. Basically, they show you the product shots of the different things that are out there, like Wendy's Southwest Taco Salad, then the real-life versions. Now, it's been a long time realized that, you know, whenever you look at the fry shots from McDonald's or Burger King or anything else like that, they're gorgeous. The fries are popping out of the thing. You know, if you ever listen to the Dane Cook comedy routine, he says, whoever does those really needs a raise. But he's like, whenever you look at them, you just say, you know what, I want some hot, tasty French fries. So, I'm looking at these, and you look at the product shots, and they're so gorgeous. They're so lovingly put together and crafted. And then when you get them, it kind of looks like somebody just threw things sort of in that general direction they ended up. So they have 1, 2, 3, 4 little things they have here. The Wendy's Southwest Taco Salad, the Burger King Whopper, McDonald's Big Mac, and the Arby's Beef and Cheddar. So if you'd like to see that, you can head on over there. That's from our buddies over at mopo.ca. It's a fun little website to check out if you have a chance. They also had another thing that said, I have to qualify this. It says, this is 45 degrees of awesomeness. That's my little title. It says, it's also tilted, and it should be titled, actually, that you are all sheep. There's a new advertising campaign. I can't tell if this is tongue-in-cheek or not, but they're called Diamond Shreddies. They said the old version, then they show you the basically the shredded mini-wheat sitting in its normal position, and they renamed it Diamond Shreddies. And they rotated at 45 degrees, so now they're diamonds, whereas before they were just simple old squares. Now, if this actually increases the sales of this product, somebody has to be taken out back and shot. This is ridiculous. But awesome at the same point in time. So I'm hoping it's tongue in cheek, but still, I just thought it was fun. Insanity that you see out there. So that's about it. Now the next little thing here is Nescafe launches Half Calf. So basically, Nescafe is they launched a line of half caffeinated coffees for slackers and losers, if you ask me. The next little thing we had here, the final thing on today's show, we're actually going relatively at a good clip, and we're going to be under an hour, which is awesome. But lattes are apparently for fatties. If you listen, I'm not a real big latte fan. I don't get one every morning. I'm a black coffee fan 90% of the time. It's trying to point a finger at lifestyle changes in the UK specifically. It says Britons have developed a love of gourmet drinks such as lattes and spiced teas. All bad news for our waistlines. So they said it used to be that they once favored plain coffee or tea, but they've developed a love of these much more lush beverages. So it's saying that they're all the added sugar and cream and everything else says... It says non-alcoholic beverages account for almost one quarter of Americans' calorie intake. I do not know how many calories are actually in a cup of coffee without anything in it, but I'm pretty sure it's significantly less than when you add cream, sugar, and 90% of the other stuff that people put out there. However, I don't think that things like cinnamon and nutmeg actually add to the calorie, but hey, I'm not sure. So I just wanted to put that out there, allow you to read the article, draw your own conclusions, and that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination Podcast. We have had a long show tonight, chock full of content. Hope you enjoyed that. I have one little plea for people out there. If you enjoy the show, you think we're doing a good job, please either, pass the show along, try and get a couple other people to let us know if they enjoyed the show. Just give us one or two shows. Just give us a week, basically. And let us know if anybody out there is a converted listener, if somebody handed you the MP3 or suggested us to you. We're trying to get all of our ducks in a row here, trying to grow our listener base and expand beyond the listeners that we have. We love all of you dearly, each and every one of you. I make the attempt when people write in, even the people that I don't know, I make the attempt that when people write in and whatnot, that I actually respond to you. And I do on, 98% of the people, I respond to you and thank you for your comments and suggestions and everything. We're looking to keep that kind of interaction, but I'd just love to hear and get our message out to even more people. So hopefully you'll end up passing us along. And if you've heard this MP3 because somebody passed it along, you can find it over at www.caffeination.com. That's Caffeination, caffeination.com. I know it's spelled wrong, but there is a reason that it's actually listed over at the website. If you have comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you feel like sending our way, you can head that on over to caffeination@gmail.com. We will respond usually within a day or so. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at the Blueberry Network. That's BlueBrry. That's Blueberry without the E's. It's a social podcasting network site. It's a completely opt-in site. So if you have a podcast and you'd like to share it with the world, you can head on over there. It's a fun little community. And then speaking of MySpace, or actually hadn't spoken of MySpace, but we are on MySpace, and you can head on over to www.myspace.com/caffeination to find our fun little show. And then finally, it's not actually up in the show notes, but if you're on Skype and you'd like to start up a conversation or do whatever else out there, then you can Skype us at caffeination. Hopefully you'll give us stories, feedback, comments, and everything else like that along that vein as well. So this has been the Caffeination 126. We'd just like to thank everybody out there for listening, all of our new and existing listeners. Thanks for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.